Okay, I've got the boys handing out a quiz for those that want it. Our Sunday school class is sitting out, so those guys will fill it out. But I think we have 20 copies, so if you'd like one, I think we have enough to go partially around. While we're setting up the PowerPoint, I want to have you turn it to Leviticus chapter 13. Here we go. And while you're turning there, I'll tell you a story. I used to do gymnastics in college, and one day before practice, I don't think I've shared this story with you, but we got into this argument while we were stretching on who's the toughest on the team. Now, this may not be a conversation we would have in front of the linebackers at the academy, but among the gymnasts we were. This one guy who particularly had a very low pain threshold argued that he was the toughest on the team. And we all laughed at him. We're like, yeah, right, man. You can't even hang through practice without quitting. He said, no, you don't understand. He said, you guys have a higher tolerance for pain. Therefore, you don't feel the same amount of pain that I feel during the same event. I was like, what do you mean by that? He's like, well, my pain tolerance is so low that if I were to do the same thing you did, I feel a lot more pain than you. Therefore, I'm tougher than you. Right? Yeah, that's what we did. We all laughed at him. Then I was kind of like, wait a second. Maybe he's got a point. Obviously, I don't agree with him. But we're going to take a look at pain at a certain level today. Okay? We're going to take a look at some anatomy of the human body for those future doctors in the room or current doctors. So Caleb can sit there and correct me on all this. If we got time, we'll talk about a sports story for those into sports in the room. But it's all going to be surrounding leprosy that we'll read about here in the Old Testament. Well, let's begin with chapter 13, Leviticus chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. It says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man has on the skin of his body a swelling, a scab, or a bright spot, and it becomes on the skin of his body like a leprous sore, then he shall be brought to Aaron and the priests, or to one of his sons, the priest. The priest shall examine the sore on the skin of the body, and if the hair on the sore has turned white, and the sore appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a leprous sore, then the priest shall examine him and pronounce him unclean." I'm going to do you a favor, and we're going to stop reading chapter 13, and we're going to skip over to chapter 14. In verse 1, it says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the leprosy is healed in the leper, then the priest shall command to take for him who is to be cleansed two living and clean birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. And for the living bird, he shall take it, the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and dip them in the living bird, and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle it seven times on him who is to be cleansed from leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose in the open field. He who is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. After that he shall come into the camp and shall stay outside his tent 7 days. But on the seventh day he shall shave all the hair off his head and his beard and his eyebrows and his hair he shall shave off. He shall wash his clothes and wash his body in water, and he shall be clean. And on the eighth day he shall take two male lambs without blemish, one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil and grain offering, and one log of oil. Then the priest who makes him clean shall present the man who is to be made clean and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And the priest shall take one male lamb and offer it as a trespass offering in the log of oil and wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. Then he shall kill the lamb in the place where he kills the sin offering and the burnt offering in a holy place, for it is a sin offering. is the priest, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy. The priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it on the tip of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand. Then the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in the left hand, and shall sprinkle some of the oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord. And the rest of the oil in his hand, the priest shall put some of the tip of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed on the thumb of his right hand and on the big toe of his right foot and on the blood of the trespass offering. The rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall put on the head of him who is to be cleansed, so the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord. Then the priest shall offer the sin offering and make atonement for him who is to be cleansed from his uncleanness. Afterward he shall kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall offer burnt offering and the grain offering on the altar, so the priest shall make atonement for him, and he shall be clean. Father, this morning we're going to take a look at this disease of leprosy. We're going to see many parallels to the disease of sin that we have to deal with as humankind. We pray that you would bless the reading of your word this morning. We just pray that you would bless this time now as we gather from this just how much your salvation means to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We've got a lot that we could have read in chapters 13 and 14. I will venture to say that if you were to read these chapters in their entirety, your mind will wander. It gets very detailed. In chapter 13, you could break this up into two different things. Chapter 13 is the diagnosis of leprosy, and then chapter 14 is the cleansing of leprosy. So chapter 13 is just trying to determine if you have leprosy, right? Do you have it or don't you? So it goes through this whole process of these skin lesions where it's white, and then it talks about if the hair turns white, then that is leprous. If it gets deep in the skin, then that's leprous, but then there's cases where it's not. And the priest, of all people, is the one that determines this. Then in chapter 14, we have the cleansing of leprosy. Now, we read quite a bit this morning, and we still didn't really touch the detail that this goes into, which tells us one thing, that this is very serious. This is very serious. The Lord was very detailed on how to determine if you had this and how to cleanse yourself of it. Leprosy is mentioned 68 times in the Bible, 55 times in the Old Testament, and 13 times in the New Testament. It's the oldest known disease known to man, and it's the first disease mentioned in the Bible. And we see the priest of all people fulfilling this role of doctor and priest at the same time, which kind of shows us how the physical aspect was impacting the spiritual here in the Old Testament. And chapter 13 is a difficult chapter to read through just because of the detail that it gets into. And part of us can think today, well, this doesn't really relate to us. And we'll get to that, why leprosy isn't really something that we talk a lot about today. No translation of the root word, is satisfactory for all the conditions covered in the Hebrew. The root word comes from seret, which means to become diseased in the skin. Okay? Now, in chapter 14, you get into this thing where they talk about leprosy being in the walls of a house. You talk about in the clothes, like leather clothing or linen clothing. And what do you do with that? And they ultimately burn it, or they remove it from the house after they don't touch the house for 7 days. And ultimately, they'll remove the rocks that have it on it. Well, is that leprosy? My point is that leprosy, as we read about it, is pretty broad termed. And it can be mold, mildew, and fabrics, or what people described as mineral eruptions in the walls of buildings. Or it could be the disease that's infecting people in their skin. Leprosy was also deeper than skin level, and it kind of talks about that, where you would have these white flakes, but then they would examine it to see if it got deeper. Well, it can actually get down into the nerve endings in your body, so you don't necessarily feel pain like you should. In some cases in the Old Testament, it was permanent, and if it wasn't dealt with, it would completely consume your body. Today, let me see here a slide. Today we have what is referred to as Hansen's disease. And my understanding is that is kind of today's version of leprosy. They changed the name in like 1931 to be more specifically the disease in your skin that you can have. And we can read about in history where how you'd have these people quarantined into a leper colony. And in the, just like we're reading about here in the Old Testament, where they would be separated from people because it was just so contagious. It's an airborne disease that if you get it from breathing next to a person or touching them, it was highly contagious. So they would just separate them into these colonies, and either it would heal or it wouldn't. But in a lot of cases, it wouldn't, so they would be a leper for the rest of their lives. Now, in today's terms, Hansen's disease is very treatable. It's not like it was in the Old Testament. We can deal with it right away. So it's not necessarily the threat that we see in the Old Testament. Hansen's disease, or modern-day leprosy, is a chronic, curable, infectious disease, mainly causing skin lesions and nerve damage. It spreads airborne. Symptoms include light-colored or red skin patches with reduced sensation, numbness, and weakness in hands and feet. I will do some reading today from my notes just so I make sure I say it right for the quiz. So, boys, if I'm reading, you can write down the answers then, you know what I'm saying? It's also a mold or a fungus growth that grows on dead or decomposing animals or vegetable matter and occurs in patches of various shapes. The fungus growth affects the entire article by its presence, just as the taint of original sin reaches all areas of the human personality. Well, in chapter 14, we read about the cleansing of leprosy. And we have this step-by-step process where the priest would have this direct interaction with the person that has leprosy. And the first thing you see is that they are inspected by the priest outside the camp. So they're in their own little colony, and the priest would come out and inspect them. And if healed, we go through this process of him offering up two living and clean birds with cedar wood and hyssop. So we have this piece of a cedar wood, which we think of a cedar tree as being so tall and majestic, and then a piece from a root or a lowly plant. And McDonald describes this as covering the whole multitude of judgment that comes on mankind with sin. From the top of the top to the lowliest of the low, all are judged from the Lord. One bird is killed and the other is allowed to go free. So let's just take a moment and talk about in what ways leprosy is like a type of sin. Number one, it renders a man unclean. So we can learn about in chapter 14 where how anytime you had leprosy, if you were approached, you would have to cover up your mouth and you would yell out, unclean, unclean, just notifying the person that they are not to get clear to you. The man was unclean. Number two, it excluded him from the camp of God or from the people of God. And number three, sin, like leprosy, makes the victim miserable. Another thing is that it's ugly. Now, part of me wanted to throw up all these pictures of people that have had leprosy, but my better judgment thought we shouldn't since we're about to have lunch later on. But it's ugly. It's ugly. And we could have really grossed ourselves out with these pictures of people with mangled arms, part of their bodies are falling off. Elephantitis is a branch of leprosy where you just have these growths, infections that are not dealt with. And in the same way, sin is ugly, and it needs to be dealt with. So we see this application of blood in these sacrifices, reminding us of the blood of Christ and the running water that's poured over the dead animal, reminding us of the Holy Spirit and the cleansing of the leper or of ourselves with the Holy Spirit. The second thing that happens between the priest and the leper is that the cleansed leper washes his clothes, he shaves off all his hair, and then he washes his body. And then after all that, he comes back to the camp, but he's still not allowed to enter for another 7 days. And on the eighth day, they make these trespass offerings, sin offerings, and burnt offerings. And then ultimately, the priest applies the blood to the leper's ears, his hand, and his foot that we read about. And it reminds us of the fact that we are to obey, listening to God's word, we are to do God's will, and we are to walk in God's ways. Well, before we transition to the dilemma of leprosy, let me just read you a quote. Now, this quote's talking about all diseases or sickness. It says, "The symptoms and the illnesses are not the same thing. The illness exists long before the symptoms. Rather than being the illness, the symptoms are the beginning of its cures. The fact that they are unwanted makes them all the more a phenomenon of the grace, a gift of God, a message from the unconscious, if you will, to initiate self-examination and repair." When we get sick, we feel bad, our nose are running, we have all these symptoms, but this is telling us that our bodies, as majestic as they are because they're created by the Lord, they're fighting it. And you're on the path to recovery. So it's a good thing. Your body has recognized the fact that you have this in you, and now it's fighting it to get rid of it with all the antibodies. Well, the problem with leprosy is you lose that sensation of having pain or a problem. So Ron kind of mentioned this morning. With sin, we have sins that we think, oh, that's bad. That's bad. But then we have sins that we get desensitized to, and we may not think, well, that's not a crime, maybe just a misdemeanor. But it's still sin. And leprosy has this way of you don't feel pain. So here we have the first disease described in the Bible. We have 116 verses that we could have read describing how to deal with this disease. And what this disease does, not only does it look bad, but it takes away the sensation of pain. So I've read these stories about people that had leprosy and why it gets so bad so quickly. So, for example, this one man described how he had a younger boy with him who had leprosy, and the man tried to open a lock to a door, and he couldn't do it. It was stuck. The boy said, well, let me give it a try. And the boy reaches up and twists real hard and unlocks the lock. And the man thought, how did this boy do this? When he looks down, he sees that the boy's cut his thumb all the way to the bone, and he's bleeding out on the ground. The kid didn't even know it. And the man thought, how in the world did this happen? Well, the key had a little sharp edge to it, so when the man twisted it, there was a point where he didn't want to twist any harder because he was going to cut himself. Whereas the boy, when he did it, he just plowed right through it because he felt no pain. He saw no issue. And then after it was done, there was no issue because there was no pain. So the boy was continuing on life like there was nothing wrong. So then if you don't deal with the issue, it festers, it grows, and gets infected. And then that's when the disease gets really ugly. Sin in the same way can be like that in our lives where it's not dealt with. It festers. It can consume our body. And in some cases, people don't even feel the need to deal with it because they see no issue with it. Let's do a little anatomy lesson here. There was a study done on how sensitive we are as people. And what they tried to determine was the absolute threshold of touch. So they put pressure on different parts of your body, and at some point, the person that was in the study would say, yeah, I feel that now. So different parts of the body had different thresholds of touch. So, for example, the sole of your foot was sensitive up to 250 grams of pressure. So it took 250 grams before the person said, oh, yeah, now I feel that. Okay? So let's calibrate that, right? I mean, how much is that? I don't know. Well, the back of your forearm was sensitive up to 33 grams of pressure. the back of your hand sensitive up to 12 grams of pressure. And this is where it gets interesting. Your fingers are sensitive up to 3 grams of pressure, and who can guess what the most sensitive part of your body was? Well, that was studied. It was your tongue, which was sensitive up to 2 grams of pressure. Well, not only did they do a study on how sensitive they were, they did a study on what was the absolute threshold of pain. So they took a pin and they would prick people in different parts of their body and they would say, yeah, I feel pain now. So how hard did they have to prick before they felt pain? So how tough are you, we'll call it, you know, just for today. The cornea, or your eye, felt 0.2 grams of pressure produced a painful sensation, very sensitive or very pain intolerant our eyes are, which is a good thing. The way God's made us is that anything that gets close to our eyes, we get real sensitive to that, which is good because we need to protect our eyes because there's not much to them and very little pressure can damage them. Our forearm can feel 20 grams before it produces a painful sensation. The back of our hand, 100 grams, produces a painful sensation. The sole of our foot, 200 grams, produces a painful sensation, which makes sense because we're standing on our feet all day long. But here's the interesting thing. Our fingertips feel 300 grams of pressure before it felt pain. So what's that tell us? That tells us that our fingers and hands are incredible creations by God, because not only are they the most sensitive, they're the toughest part of our body. Now you think about the things we do with our hands, right? There's the sensations that we feel with our fingertips. My wife took me, like, I like just straight acoustic guitar, no singing, just straight up one dude playing the guitar. I like the sound of that for some reason. And so my wife took me to this concert one time of a guy I didn't really even know, but she's like, hey, I think you'll like this. And I didn't know who he was. He didn't say anything. He walked out on that stage, and when that guy put his fingers on that guitar, it just exploded with music. I couldn't believe that one guy with 4 or 5 fingers could produce that much music. It was unbelievable. Like, my mind could not fathom how this was even possible. But it's just, our fingers are just incredible. Whether you're playing the guitar or a violin, or what do we do, or what do I do when I walk into a clothing store? A look at the clothes. What I'm really doing is feeling the clothes. I want to feel what that fabric feels like on my skin, because my fingers are sensitive. Or like a baker, when they knead dough, like at some point they want to feel some kind of stickiness to it. I don't know, but there's a point where they can feel it. They're like, it's ready now. The Lord has made our fingers incredible. They're so sensitive, and yet they're the toughest part. Leprosy takes away our ability to feel. We may think that we're tough, but we're not. We're just insensitive. There's a story of an NBA player that's a tragic example of someone not heeding the warnings of pain occurring in an NBA basketball game. This guy, Bob Gross, wanted to play despite having a badly injured ankle. And knowing that Gross wanted to play despite the ankle, and they needed him in the important game, the doctor injected him with Marcaine, which I don't know what that is. Caleb would know. Is it just big-time painkiller? Lidocaine? Okay. He shoots him up in 3 different spots in his foot, so Gross was able to start the game. But after a few minutes, he was battling for a rebound. A loud snap could be heard throughout the arena. Gross, oblivious, ran up and down the court 2 more times, then crumpled to the floor. Although he felt no pain, a bone had broken in his ankle. By overriding the pain's warning system with the anesthetic, the doctor caused permanent damage to Gross's foot and ended his basketball career forever. He needed that pain sensation to know when to stop, and he didn't. Now, I don't want to put a damper on modern medicine and what we have today, because Olivia is going to go through surgery, and if they do it right, she shouldn't be in a lot of pain. Now, at some point, she will wean herself off the pain medication, and that body is going to tell her, hey, don't push it so hard. You need to rest, right? My father and my uncle's a veterinarian, and I remember one time as a kid, we were up visiting him, and my uncle got a call, said a dog been shot, so he needed to come into the veterinary clinic. So we went in with him, watched it. So I watched him perform the surgery. He gets in there, fishes out the bullet, and then my dad says, "What kind of pain medicine are you going to give him?" And my uncle, I think he said he wasn't going to give him any. None. And I was like, "Man, that dog's been shot. And he's just going to put him in the cage and leave him alone?" He said, "Dogs are different than humans. Dogs know to stay down. They know that. Whereas humans say, shoot me up, get me back out there. It's time to go to work. Whereas a dog and animals are smart enough to stay low." Now, I'm not diminishing the need of modern medicine in our lives, but unfortunately, we see that there are cases out there and where people are taking this medicine and abusing it, and they get hooked on it. And there is medicine that's so strong that you can not only just check out with the physical pain, but just mentally just check out, just feel nothing. People want that sensation of just, I don't feel anything. And those drugs get abused and then ultimately can take a person's life because they're seeking no pain. Well, God gives us pain for a reason. And here with leprosy, we see that the Lord is addressing this disease that takes away the feeling of pain. And he addresses it very specifically and in very much detail. Well, lastly, let's take a look at the solution of leprosy. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, starting with verse 1, it says, "Then when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' And Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' Immediately his leprosy was cleansed." Leprosy is an appropriate picture of sin because it's ugly, it's destructive, it's infectious, and in some cases, it's humanly incurable. Lepers were untouchables. They were disgusting looking. Just physical contact with the person might expose you to it. Just breathing the same air that they're breathing might get you the disease as well. In the case of the Jews, contact with the person would make you ceremonially unclean, unfit to worship in the congregation of Israel. But when Jesus touches this man, he becomes clean and fit to worship the Lord. This person's interaction with the Lord Jesus shows us some things about how we should pray. So we're going to kind of end on these thoughts here, just how detailed this interaction is, even though it's a very short interaction. Number one, it teaches us that he was earnest and desperate. He implored him, it says. It was reverent. We see him prostrating himself before the Lord, kneeling before him, humbly positioning himself and being submissive to him. In the same way, we should be reverent when we're praying to the Lord. It was humble and submissive. He says, "If you are willing." Ultimately, when we pray, we are desiring the Lord's will in our life. It was believing. He knew the Lord could save him from this disease. It was acknowledged, "Make me clean." And it was personal. Oh, whoops, I skipped one here. It was specific, not "bless me," but "make me clean." You know, sometimes when I pray, I'm pretty generic with some things. And to me, a good prayer, like I'll pray a blessing on the day. But I think it's okay for us to be specific with the Lord when we pray. Say, "Lord, I want to be blessed in this area. I'm fearful for this area of the day. Bless me in that area." It was personal, "make me clean." And it was brief. It was only 5 words. Sometimes I think it's intimidating to think about, it's intimidating for us to think about praying publicly because we need to be eloquent and lengthy. It doesn't have to be. It can be short and to the point. Let's close by reading 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, it says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And we got just a little bit more time, so I want to go ahead and read Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 14 says, "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." In the Old Testament, we read of David calling out to the Lord, saying, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a righteous spirit within me." You know, I want to be like the fingers of my body, where I'm sensitive to the Lord's leading, but I'm tough enough to deal with the pain and not try to hide myself from it. You know, we as Christians, we need to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Create in me a clean heart and renew a righteous spirit within us. It's like what Ron was talking about, where we can have sin in our lives that we have desensitized ourselves to it, where sin has gotten in there and it's corrupted part of us to where we don't even think that that's a sin. I think that that can happen in a believer. You know, it obviously happens in a non-believer. I have these conversations with people and they'll talk about things in their life. I'm like, "Whoa, man, you do that?" Like, "Yeah, what's the problem?" Like, there's no sense, there's no sensation to the issue of that sin in their life. They've completely calloused themselves to that. We don't want to be like that. We want to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Father, we do come before you this morning. We thank you that we have this detailed example of leprosy in the Old Testament that shows us how it was to be examined, how serious it was, and ultimately how to be cleansed from it. An extensive process to go through in order to be cleansed of leprosy. But we think about how the solution, the Lord Jesus Christ, it was just simply believing on him, and the Lord cleansed the leper. We thank you for salvation, Lord. We thank you that you've offered it so freely and so easily to us. But Lord, we just pray that we would take this salvation, that we would take the Holy Spirit and be sensitive to it. We pray that you would create in us a clean heart and renew a righteous spirit within us, so that we are sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, sensitive to each other, but yet tough enough that we can deal with the issues. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.